We've been studying in the book of Galatians for a number of weeks, I would say, I guess, a number of months. And it has truly been a blessing for me to gain a little insight into the significance of this book. This book is dealing with the spirit of sonship. The word holy is not found in this book. And more than likely, there may be a couple of places where a reference to the Holy Spirit is mentioned. But primarily, the word spirit in this book is dealing with the spirit of His Son, or the Abba Spirit. The Abba Spirit is the spirit of saying, "All things are possible unto thee. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I want to read Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. And it says, "This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." The spirit of the book of Galatians is a spirit that is ministered. Where in the Holy Spirit, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He comes to take residence in your heart, in your life, in your body. But this Spirit is ministered to us through the teaching of the Word of God, which we will go into. The Spirit of Galatians, I believe, is found in Galatians 4:6. Where it says, "Because ye are being sons," present active of the be verb, "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Behaving like a son is living a life that is responsible. Living like a son is not having someone look over your shoulder and make you do certain things, or live a certain way, or accept certain things in your life that you can't change. I think I mentioned this before. Going to a Bible school as a youngster, the school had rules. And when I went to school there, I put my signature on a line saying I would abide by the rules. And they had the rules there in place because the kids that came there were not disciplined enough to live a life that would be honoring to the and glorifying the Lord. And so therefore they had rules. When I was in the Navy, there were certain, we had more liberties, but yet there were those that told me where to go and when to be there and how long to stay. So the point is this: if I'm behaving like a son, I don't have to have somebody tell me how to live a life that honors God. I'm going to do it because I want to. And when circumstances beyond my control or our control come about, then we need to be able to accept them, knowing that God is powerful enough to change any circumstance anytime He chooses. And when He doesn't change those circumstances, then we have to accept those circumstances as His will. And I think in terms right now of my back situation, my back hurts, and I've asked God to heal my back, and you know what? He hadn't done that. But the Lord has provided physicians, and the Lord, you know, said if a man's sick, he needs to see a physician. So physicians are not out of the question. I was talking to A lady yesterday, she and her husband just came back on a long vacation, and I asked her, I says, do you have the gift of healing? She said, no. She says, Mike, I said, if you did have the gift of healing, I was going to invite you to come over. And we had a good laugh over that. And so her husband was picking up the mail, and so he called, and we chatted after he came back. But anyway, the Lord isn't chosen to heal me by a touch or a word. And I do thank the Lord for pain medication that has helped me to cope with the pain, because when I'm not taking the medication and the pain is there and real, it's practically impossible to even read my Bible, much less study my Bible. And I don't want to take the pain medication because of the side effects that it gives. But there just comes a time when I have to. I was at 5 o'clock this morning. I said, Lord, I don't want to take these pills, but I'm going to just have to put up with the side effects so that I'll have a message for this morning. And so that's what we did. So we can behave like a son, or we can behave like a child. A child is one who has governors and rulers and teachers that are constantly looking over the shoulder to make that child to do the right thing. And as a son of God, I brought out the fact already that we are not sons of God today, because the sons of God have not been revealed, and they will not be revealed until the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed, and that our body is redeemed, and then the sons of God will be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. So, behaving like a son, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Mark chapter 14, verse 36 tells us, or is the place where Jesus Christ prayed this prayer, where he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. This was the time in the garden when he was sweating, as it were, drops of blood. He was in anguish at this point in the Passion Week. But he said, Lord, if there's any way possible for this cup to be taken away from me, please allow it to happen. And of course, the Father didn't allow that. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? The word hearing is really not a verb. It's the thing heard. It's a noun. It's an unusual way to try to translate it or to get the concept. But the thing that's being heard produces faith. The thing heard produces faith. And the Spirit that is in the book of Galatians is ministered how? Through the thing heard, faith. What does that mean? That means teaching. This Spirit in the book of Galatians is ministered to the flock through the teaching of the Word of God. Now, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by the thing heard. It's the same Greek word that we were reading in Galatians. Faith cometh by the thing heard, or hearing is the way it's in the King James, and the hearing, or the thing heard, by the Word of God. What is it that needs to be heard? The Word of God. Now, many people think that the Word of God is all of the Scriptures. Well, I have, in my personal studies, I'm finding out that the Word of God is in the Scriptures. And we will see that in just a moment. In fact, if you will look in Luke chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, you'll see the Word of God defined. It's a very special part of the Scriptures that have to do with mysteries, and it's that part of the Scriptures that have to be revealed to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. In Luke chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, he says, "And he said unto the, unto you, that is, his disciples, his apostles, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, and hearing they may not, understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God." Remember the parable of the sower? The sower went forth to sow seed. What was he sowing? He was sowing the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are for those who can hear and see and understand and grasp. This is not the sowing of the plan of salvation, because the plan of salvation is offered to everybody, and he did not teach the plan of salvation in parables to limit the acceptance of this message. The mysteries of the kingdom of God pertain to his coming kingdom and glory and the inheritance of those who will rule and reign with him. So, the spirit of sonship is ministered to us through the thing heard, which is faith, which has to do with the Word of God, which is the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. In Ephesians chapter 6, what I was thinking about this morning as I was preparing this lesson is how do we minister the Spirit? In other words, how do I minister to you this Spirit? Okay? Well, one way that I know that I can minister this Spirit to you is to teach the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. One way that I can minister this Spirit unto you is to teach about a heavenly inheritance. And what does it take to get that inheritance? Well, it takes us getting off the throne of our life and putting Jesus Christ on the throne of our life. It takes of releasing our being in charge of our life to Him being in charge of our life. Submitting to His will. Obeying His commandments. Living with the attitude of "not my will but thine be done." So I was, I want us to relate as to what it means to minister to each of us the spirit of sonship. One of them has to do with the spiritual armor. Teaching about the spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Part of the spiritual armor is the Word of God. So I need to minister to you the Word of God, because if I don't, you're not going to have the offensive weapon that you need. A sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon, not a defensive weapon. A sword is not something you defend yourself with. A sword is something you thrust with. The helmet is a defensive part of the armor to protect us, to keep us safe. The shield of faith and so forth. Now, the sown seed we find in Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing, or the thing heard, that is, the mystery of the kingdom of the heaven, ye shall hear, and shall not understand, or put it together. And seeing, present active, ye shall see, and not perceive." There were those in the nation of Israel that would hear the thing, but they wouldn't understand it. And that happens today. There are people today that hear the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, They don't understand it. They can't put it together. One of the problems of not being able to put things together is lack of studying of the Word and inconsistency of coming to where the Word of the Kingdom is being taught or the Word of God is being taught. Those are problems. And so we need to see that the thing heard is the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. Another thing in sowing to this spirit is that of hope. I need to be talking about the hope of a child of God. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The hearing of faith has to do with the hope. And the hope has to do with things that we don't see. What is the hope of a Christian? The hope of a Christian is to rule and reign with Christ. Because we can be denied positions of honor and glory in His coming kingdom. How can we be denied those positions? By being unfaithful. By being on again, off again, as far as our walk with the Lord is concerned. And so therefore, ministering the spirit of sonship is to minister the hope and to actually and also to minister faith. Another thing that I need to minister is grace, the grace of God. In Galatians 1:6, Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, to another gospel. The calling was unto grace. Who called them unto grace? Paul's ministry called them unto grace. And this grace of God has to do with the power of Christ. When I think about the spirit of Galatians, you cannot live in the spirit of sonship apart from the power of Christ. It takes the power of Christ to say, Abba, Father. When you don't like your situation, it takes the grace of God to do that. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul was praying, Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh, the Lord said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Paul called them to that grace, to that power, because he knew that it would take the grace of God for him or for them to live in the spirit of his Son. And so therefore, I want to minister the grace of God. Now, how do I minister the grace of God to you? Well, 2 Peter 1:2 tells me just exactly how to do that. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This word knowledge is the Greek word epinosis, which means knowledge upon knowledge. And to be able to present knowledge upon knowledge, one has to do what? Has to teach. The teaching ministry in this church is to what? To build you up in His grace. And it's the knowledge upon knowledge. It's the line upon line. It's the precept upon precept knowledge of Jesus Christ and God, even God the Father. So, a teaching ministry builds us up in the grace of God. Another thing that Paul warned them in Galatians 5:4, if Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. If you're justified by the law, you're going to fall from grace. The power of Christ is not needed. You know why the power of Christ is not needed? It's because you've got somebody behind you calling the shots. Who was behind the church at Galatia? Or who were they trying to get behind him? Moses. The law. The law told them when to go to Jerusalem every year. 3 times a year you've got to go to Jerusalem. The law told them when they were clean and when they were not clean. The law told them how to become clean when they became defiled and what defiled them. It's not that we are not under commandments, but as we behave like a son, we are not forced to live under those commandments. In fact, this is interesting. I just happened to think about it as I was just now. When the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You have this fruit in your life, there is no law needed. No law needed. You're living like a son when you are producing this fruit in your life. And so, if we're going to go back under the tutors and the governors and the Mosaic law, you know what? We've fallen from grace. You don't need the power of Christ anymore. And if you don't have the grace of God in your life, then there are consequences to pay. In fact, you can't even serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear if you do not have the grace of God. You find that in Hebrews 12:28. So, if we're being justified by the schoolmaster, the tutors, the governors, you're falling from grace. Galatians 3:11 says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. By the way, justification is not salvation. Justification is approval. Justification is to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Justification is not being chargeable. Romans chapter 8, verse, I think it is 31. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And so therefore justification has to do with being charged. Now, so ministering to you the spirit of the Abba Spirit, or the Spirit of His Son, has to do with ministering faith and grace. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." You see the significance of the hearing of faith? The hearing of faith gives us that which we need to access the grace. What does that accessing grace provide for us? It provides us the ability to stand. When you, as a Christian, having all the armor on, and you're laying down at the feet of the enemy, you know what that means? It means you're defeated. The enemy is taking advantage of you. The enemy is over you. And it takes faith and grace to keep us standing and not to fall before our enemies. Also, faith and grace provides us with the hope of glory. We can rejoice in the hope of glory. We don't have the glory now, but I hope one day to enter into the glory of the Lord and to rule and reign with Christ. That's the reason why in Colossians 1:23 it says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Paul ministered to those at Colossae. What did he minister to them? He ministered to them grace and faith. Paul was teaching. And this gospel was preached to every creature. When I think about what Peter was doing at Pentecost in Jerusalem, he was preaching to every tongue and dialect of the whole world. That message left Jerusalem and went into the whole world as far as that message was concerned. But, and also, we find the hope of glory in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What Spirit? The Spirit of sonship. The Spirit of saying, Abba, Father. Not my will, but thine be done. And we're waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. And faith comes by the hearing of what? The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, the kingdom of God. Faith is bolstering hope to the point that it gives substance to that coming kingdom. Enough so that it will cause us to live a responsible, accountable life to whom? Not to governors and teachers, but to the Lord. It's not my job to come over and check on you to see if you have your daily devotions. It's not my job to come over to your place and find out if you're praying. It's not my job to come get you by the hand and bring you into church. That's your job. That's between you and the Lord. If I'm doing that, you know what I've become? I've become a governor and a tutor. And you know what? You need to be redeemed. From whom? From me. You know? And the Lord has redeemed us from the law. The governors, the tutors. And so therefore, there comes a time in your life when you behave the correct way, because you know you'll have to give an account to the Lord for the way you behave. And you cannot depend on somebody else to make you do the right thing. Now, Paul continues in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does it mean to have Christ in me? It's to have the Abba Spirit. Christ in me is not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Christ, Jesus Christ, is at the right hand of God the Father in His body of flesh and bones. His blood is on the mercy seat. For me to have Christ in me is to have His attitude that He had while He was here on the earth. The Lord said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That's my job. That's my food. That's my sustenance. Now, I read in the passage in Galatians chapter 3 where Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. This has to do with the righteousness which is of faith. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, in the present tense. That's present active participle. Those that are continuing to believe. That is, they have not lost hope. Their faith is not waning. They're continuing confidently believing that there is a coming kingdom. There is coming honor and glory to be enjoyed. And so therefore they continue to believe. And there's no difference, whether it be Jew or Gentile. There's no difference in this. That Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And by the way, this was not when Abraham was saved. When Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, it was in Genesis chapter 15. And Abraham had been walking with the Lord many years before that. So, believing God, what did Abraham believe God? About his heavenly inheritance, the stars of the sky, and the sands of the sea, the sands of the seashore as well. So, Abraham, the righteousness which is of faith, is something that was given to Abraham because he believed God. In fact, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he, that is Abraham, might be the father of all them that believe, in the present tense. Believing in the present tense, of those who are being faithful to the Lord. though they be not circumcised, the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Now, what is the advantage of being faithful to the Lord? What is the advantage of believing in the present tense? What is the advantage of stimulating your confidence in the hope? Because I look at believing in the present tense as stimulating my life for the Lord. Not just simply, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, mechanical stuff. I'm talking about belief that changes my attitude, a belief that changes my lifestyle, a belief that changes my outlook on life, regardless of the circumstances. I just think of the way things are going here in the world today. It makes me just so glad that I know Psalms 33:18. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive when there ain't any food left. In fact, Paul and I were talking about that this morning. There may come a day when there may not be anything to eat. And you know what? The Lord provided manna in the Old Testament in the wilderness. There's no reason why He can't do it again. So, anyway, it's interesting. Now, that's just total speculation. But I think I could learn to adjust in my taste buds. I get off the black-eyed peas and grits and get on to manna. Now, what is the significance of believing in the present tense? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received what? The Word of God. When you received the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh, present tense, also in you that believe in the present tense. Why is it significant for you to believe in the present tense? Why is it significant for us to stimulate our hope of glory? Because the Word of God works more effectively in one who is stimulating himself for the things of the Lord. Who is stimulating himself to live like a son and not like somebody that needs, like a little child, that always have to be led around. We need to be believing in the present tense. It's interesting also in 1 John. 1 John was written that we might believe in the present tense. Why? 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the present tense. Believe on what? On the name of the Son of God. That ye may know that ye have, or really, esteem life of the age. John says, you that are believing in the present tense, I want you to know that you esteem life for the coming age. That's just why we believe in the present tense. Let's continue. And that you may believe in the present tense on the name of the Son of God. What is the significance of the name of the Son of God? Well, we've talked about this before because of Revelation 19:13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. The Word of God. I believe in the present tense, the Word of God. What does the Word of God relate to? The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so therefore, because I believe in the present tense, in the mysteries of the kingdom of God, you know what I'm saying to myself and to others? I esteem life of the age. I esteem highly the privilege of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. That's the significance of believing in the name of the Son of God. Because last Sunday we talked about the significance of being a son. What is the significance of being a son? It's the sons of God who rule over the earth. The sons of God, even though they may be fallen today, the sons of God are the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. Satan, who is the god of this age. It's our enemies called principalities and powers. Where? In heavenly places. They are sons of God. And so therefore I am believing in the name of one who rules, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was ministering the Abba Spirit to the church in Galatia. Galatians 3:5 says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" It's the hearing of faith. Paul told those at Philippi, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, write it down on a piece of paper and put it in your Bible. No, it doesn't say that. It says, what you've seen and learned from me, you do it. And you're going to have peace. The peace of God. The God of peace will be with you. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. Who has learned them? In other words, continue learning. Continue growing. And then, Luke 8:21, and I'll close with this. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear, present active, what? The word of God, and do it. I want to minister the Spirit to you as well as to me. What Spirit do I want to minister to you? The Abba Spirit. I want you to be willing to submit yourself to the work, to God's will for your life. And do it in a way that brings joy to Him and peace to you. And the only way that we're going to be able to access that blessing is through grace, which is accessed by faith. And that comes through the teaching of the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, which is really the meat of the word. May the Lord help us in these days to have that spirit, that submissive spirit, and graduate from being a kid, a child, that has to be herded all the time. You know, I'm just thinking about that. Grabbing somebody's hand to take me across the street. That sounds like foolishness when it comes to being an adult. You know what I mean? Say, Gene, hold my hand. I'm going to cross the street so I won't get run over. Father, we just pray that you'd help us to know that you're the one in charge of our life, and you don't have to hold our hands to cross the street or to cross this state or this nation or this world. We just pray, Lord, you'd help us to be a brother, your brother, one who hears the word of God, the mysteries of the kingdom, of the heavens, and obeys them and practices them and continues to believe and to nurture and to stimulate our confidence in what you promised those who would be faithful to you. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.